You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us on this Friday morning, September the 7th. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock. Idaho's senior Republican senator is calling on Senator Larry Craig to make it clear he will leave his seat by September 30th. It's Congressman Mike Simpson saying that Craig should make his resignation unequivocal so that Idaho's governor, also a Republican, can choose a replacement. Whether or not Craig would actually resign came into question when this voicemail Craig left on a wrong number, he apparently thought he was calling his lawyer, was released to the media this week.
Received at 11:55 a.m.
Yes, Billy, this is Larry Craig calling. You can reach me on my cell. Arlen Specter is now willing to come out in my defense, arguing that it appears by all that he knows I've been railroaded and all of that. Having all of that, we've reshaped my statement a little bit to say it is my intent to resign on September 30. I think it is very important for you to make as bold a statement as you are comfortable with this afternoon, and I would hope you could make it in front of the cameras. I think it would help drive the story that I'm willing to fight, that I've got quality people out there fighting in my defense, and that this thing could take a new turn or a new shape, has that potential. Anyway, give me a buzz or give Mike a buzz on that. We're headed to my press conference now. Thank you. Bye.
Well, that voicemail created a buzz. Is Larry Craig going to resign or not by September 30th? Craig's chief spokesman yesterday tried to clarify, saying that his boss has dropped all notions of trying to finish his third term. However, there was still a little bit of wiggle room, saying that the only circumstance in which Craig might try to complete his term would require an overturning of his conviction for disorderly conduct, and that scenario, his spokesperson said, was unlikely. But still, will Craig resign or not? Why does the GOP so desperately want to put this behind them? And is there a double standard? We'll talk a little bit about that, because some are this week saying that why is the GOP down Larry Craig's throat to resign, forcing him to resign? But another Republican congressman who was involved in allegations of soliciting a prostitute, he was not forced to resign. Is there a double standard? We welcome your thoughts and questions on this at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Matthew Wilson. He's an associate professor of political science at Southern Methodist University. He is editor of the forthcoming From Pews to Polling Places, Faith and Politics in the American Religious Mosaic, and also the author of the forthcoming The Blame Game, Political Sophistication and the Politics of Attribution. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm very good. Thanks very much. Are both of those forthcoming, or is one of them out?
Well, the book From Pews to Polling Places actually will be out next month from Georgetown University Press. The other is a work in progress.
Okay, all right. So, what do you make of all this? Are you convinced right now that that Larry Craig will step down by September 30th?
Yes, I can't imagine the circumstance under which he would be able to remain in office. I think the pressure from his Republican colleagues is just so high, and even within his own state of Idaho, the support has basically evaporated. The allegations that he's involved in are so sort of tawdry and unseemly that regardless of the actual criminal status of the conviction or disposition, it's hard to see how he could remain as senator under those circumstances.
Yeah. Well, he wants to overturn that. He says Arlen Specter is on his side, that he got railroaded.
Right. Well, Arlen Specter is about the only one when you look at other Republican members of the Senate. And the thing that makes it so difficult for him under these circumstances is that he actually pled guilty. And I know he wants to go back and undo that, but the fact that he chose to plead guilty this summer to a criminal offense kind of makes it impossible for Republican senators to go along with the, well, you were railroaded defense. I mean, if he was railroaded, then he should have fought the charges, so the line of argument would go. And so I think that's what really has backed him into a corner here.
Yeah, but understandable that someone in his position might want this to go away. So thinking he would plead guilty to disorderly conduct, a misdemeanor, which
right.
wouldn't, you know, call for him to be removed from office.
Right. But I think it was a little bit naive on his part to think that you could be, as a senator, involved in a sting of this sort and then plead guilty to charges arising from that and that that would never come out. I mean, in many ways, the surprising thing is that word of it did not come out for several months. I mean, if anything, the fact that there was a delay between the incident and the press notification of it was a bit surprising.
No. What do you think about these charges that the GOP has a double standard here? Craig, accused of soliciting gay sex, is forced to resign, no support. But David Vitter, connected to an escort service with heterosexual sex involved, is not.
Well, I mean, there may be a bit of a double standard, but there are also some important differences between those two situations. In the one case, you do have, as I mentioned before, the fact that Larry Craig pled guilty to a criminal offense. And so there's an element of criminality and the law being involved here in a formal capacity that was not true in the Vitter situation. The other thing is the allegations against David Vitter regarded behavior that took place 5, 6, 7, and more years ago. The incident with Larry Craig is something that happened this summer. And then there undoubtedly is a different perception on the part of the American public between, you know, basically trolling for sex in the restroom and soliciting a prostitute, however unseemly it is to be involved in prostitution. That's something that doesn't quite, I think, for many Americans, produce the same level of complete shock and disgust as the idea of, you know, soliciting anonymous bathroom sex.
Yeah. Matthew Wilson, our guest, an associate professor of political science at Southern Methodist University, talking with us about the scandal involving Idaho Senator Larry Craig, which continues. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you with us. Hope you stay tuned. It's now 19, coming up on 19 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, September the 7th. Coming up a little later this morning, Kathleen Dunn with you, talking with her guest, Wisconsin Public Radio's classical music host, Lori Skelton, about the death of Pavarotti yesterday. We'll talk about Pavarotti's legacy and his voice that moved the world. That's coming up after 10 o'clock this morning. Last week during this hour, we were talking about the pressure being put on Idaho Senator Larry Craig to resign by his GOP colleagues and party leaders following news of Craig's arrest for allegedly soliciting sex from an undercover police officer in a Minneapolis airport bathroom. The conservative Republican senator, who has voted against gay rights legislation, has denied allegations in the past that he was gay. He ended up pleading guilty to a lesser charge of disorderly conduct. He did that in August, he says, to put this embarrassing incident behind him, to make it go away. And Republicans wanted this to go away, too. And calls were mounting for Craig to resign. Craig apparently bowed to that pressure last Saturday and said this.
It is with sadness and deep regret that I announce that it is my intent to resign from the Senate effective September 30th.
Notice he said, my intent. Then it became known this week that Larry Craig apparently was having second thoughts after Arlen Specter, a fellow Republican, came to his aid to some extent, saying that he didn't think that Craig would have been convicted of anything if he had fought the original charges. So Craig was apparently giving himself a little bit of wiggle room there and thought if he could overturn his conviction that maybe he would not resign effective September 30th. We're talking about why Republicans are not happy at all to have this scandal persist, and we welcome your thoughts and questions about this. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. And in the news this morning, Idaho's senior Republican congressman is calling on Senator Craig to make it clear he will leave his seat by September 30th so that Idaho's governor can choose a replacement. Matthew Wilson, is time of the essence here when it comes to this?
I think from the standpoint of the Republican Party, time is of the essence. They do not profit at all from having this story drag on. And also, I think Larry Craig does not profit at all from having this story drag on. I think that the party would like to see a new replacement, preferably someone beyond ethical reproach, chosen by the governor of Idaho, and would like to move on without this story dominating the headlines.
Yeah, why do you think that this isn't doing Larry Craig any good?
Well, because this keeps this very embarrassing story about him in the headlines. And I don't think there's any way, as I said before, that he can actually rehabilitate his political career. I mean, at this point, trying to prolong it merely prolongs the national discussion of his behavior, prolongs the anger directed at him by his colleagues in the Senate who want him to step down. Potentially burn some bridges of some, you know, goodwill that he may have built up over the years with colleagues, both within Idaho and in Washington, where he would be much better served to step aside with whatever grace or dignity he has left at this point, rather than fighting, I think, a hopeless battle to try to retain his seat.
Yeah, so absolutely no one believes that he had a wide stance and he accidentally bumped the undercover police officer's foot, etc., that no one believes that this was just an innocent mistake.
Not in conjunction with some of the other rumors about Larry Craig that have swirled over the years. I mean, as we may have seen, as some may have seen, when this story broke, there were others who came forward and said, well, you know, there's always been some talk about Larry Craig. And then there was a man from Washington, D.C., who came forward claiming that some years back he had a bathroom sexual encounter in Union Station in Washington with Larry Craig. Now, you know, that might be a lie. Any of these charges in isolation could be false or just scurrilous accusations. But you start to put them all together, and it makes people very skeptical of Larry Craig's claim that nothing was going on here.
Yeah. Mike in Milwaukee is with us first. Hi, Mike. You're on the air.
Well, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'd just like to say that this Larry Craig thing is partially about, the homosexual aspects of it. But, you know, he violated his marriage vows. I was thinking, too, that it's possible that a homosexual could be against, you know, gay marriage, but, you know, wouldn't necessarily be hypocritical. And I think it's the unseemly and disgusting nature. I mean, can anyone possibly imagine a more disgusting way to try to pick up somebody? And I think that all played into it, too.
Yeah, and you don't think for example, David Vitter, the congressman from Louisiana, who was involved in heterosexual sex scandal, there's not a double standard to not ask him to resign. He violated his
right,
wedding vows, apparently.
Right, but there are political considerations too, because Louisiana has a Democratic governor.
Well, yeah, that's right.
And if he was asked to step down, she would appoint a Democratic senator. And part of it, I'm kind of a worldly person. Part of it, I think, is boys will be boys. And so, you know, you have boys coming together, you know, thinking, well, you know, guys do those types of things. I'm not saying that guys should do it, and they probably shouldn't do it. But that's what guys do.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's what some of the critics of all this are saying, is that this, you know, it's because it was gay sex that everybody is so disgusted, Matthew Wilson?
Undoubtedly, for a lot of people, that adds to the sense of revulsion about it. However, I mean, I think it would have also been pretty unseemly had Larry Craig been lurking outside the women's restroom, soliciting anonymous travelers through the Minneapolis airport.
Your point is that it's gay or not, the fact that it was a stranger sex in a bathroom is
exactly. That's a big part of what's going on too. But the other thing is, I mean, it is undeniably the case that many people in America, and especially people within the base of the Republican Party, do make a distinction between homosexual and heterosexual conduct, and they would make no apology for that. I mean, they genuinely believe that there is a moral distinction between those two, while at the same time they certainly acknowledge that engaging in sex with a prostitute, like David Vitter did, is also an immoral act. It's, as I said, there are other factors involved too, like the dimension of how long ago this was, what the time frame was, what the legal disposition of it is, those sorts of things as well.
Yeah. Can a gay politician vote against gay rights legislation and speak out the way Larry Craig has on these issues and not be a hypocrite?
Well, that was actually, I think, a very interesting and I think perceptive point made by the caller, which is that even if someone is openly gay, okay, which clearly is not the case here, but there are a few members of Congress who are openly gay, that does not obligate them necessarily to support gay marriage. It is possible for one to be homosexual and yet not to believe that our society should change its definitions and laws about marriage. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't make one hypocritical. What would be, by definition, hypocritical is if somebody was against gay marriage and himself wanted to marry another man. That would be hypocritical because, you know, but that's obviously not what's going on here. Larry Craig does not want to marry another man. He was not himself engaging specifically in the behavior that he was seeking to prevent. I mean, if we take the strict definition of it, he was against gay marriage, but he may have engaged in homosexual conduct.
Yeah. What about the only reason David Vitter wasn't asked to resign is because Louisiana has a Democratic governor that would appoint a Democrat?
I don't think that's the only reason, but certainly that factors into the decision. I mean, no doubt about it. There are sensitivities in Washington to political calculations. And the governor of Louisiana is Kathleen Blanco, who is a Democrat, who would almost certainly nominate a Democratic successor, whereas the governor of Idaho is a Republican. And I wouldn't say that that is the only factor driving things, but it's something that certainly is in the back of the mind of Senate colleagues in Washington.
Yeah, we have other callers and almost at a news break. So let me ask you to lead us into the news break with how much is the continuing attention on this, as my producer put it, this Craigmire? How much is this going to hurt the Republican Party that this continues to make headlines?
In the long run, if they can get this off the front pages and get him to resign by the end of September, I suspect it will not be a major factor come the 2008 elections. But the problem is, it does come on top of the David Vitter and then last year, or 2 years ago, the Mark Foley scandal, that these allegations of sexual impropriety against several major Republicans. It hurts them with a core element of their base.
We'll leave it there for now, and we will continue after we check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network.
Arlen Specter is now willing to come out in my defense, arguing that it appears by all that he knows I've been railroaded and all of that. Having all of that, we've reshaped my statement a little bit to say it is my intent to resign on September 30.
That's Idaho Senator Larry Craig, leaving a voicemail on apparently what he thought was his lawyer's answering machine, but it was a wrong number. The voicemail was released to the media, and lots of speculation these days as to whether Larry Craig really will resign by September 30th. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Friday, September the 7th. We are talking about the possibilities that Senator Craig might try to hang in there and fight the charges and his resignation or not. Our guest doesn't think he will. Our guest thinks he's out. Matthew Wilson, Associate Professor of Political Science at Southern Methodist University, editor of the forthcoming From Pews to Polling Places, Faith and Politics in the American Religious Mosaic. And we welcome your thoughts and questions for him. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. What does this story, continuing to be in the news, mean for the Republican Party? Some are accusing the Republican Party of having a double standard for insisting that Larry Craig resign, but not insisting that David Vitter resign. David Vitter, a Republican from Louisiana, was accused of being involved with heterosexual prostitution, not the gay sex solicitation that Larry Craig is accused of. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. Our next caller is Al in Wausau. Hi, Al, you're on the air.
Hey there, how you doing?
Good.
I would like to take exception with your use of the word double standards in the way that you're using this. Men have always, for whatever reason, been attracted to women, and women have always pretty much been attracted to men for whatever reason. Some have to deal with money, others have other things. The double standard here should more or less be the fact that it is that this young man, this senator, has chose to build a political career against something, but yet participate in it. That should be the double standard. Now, you're trying to say that it's wrong for whatever reason that a man is attracted to a woman, and some men just don't feel, they're up to par and so forth and just have to more or less substitute certain things. So that's not a double standard. This has just been going on since the beginning of time. And,
I'm not making the claim. There are others who are making the claim. I'm just relaying it. I'm looking at a column. Where's the GOP outrage about Senator David Vitter?
But you are perpetuating this.
Well, I'm asking our guest. Yeah. All right, Al. So there's not a double standard, Matthew Wilson. What do you say?
Well, I agree with some of what the caller said, although I would take exception to a couple of things. I mean, first of all, I don't think that the Republicans in the Senate or in David Vitter's constituents just say, well, you know, this has been going on since the beginning of time. Men sometimes take up with prostitutes. It's no big deal. I don't think there was that sort of dismissive attitude. I mean, it's a problem for Vitter. There's a lot of discussion about it. He was just not asked to resign. But the other thing is that I think the caller is right in his perception that a lot of people in America do believe that Vitter's acts were not unnatural, whereas Larry Craig's acts were unnatural. Now, some people may certainly disagree with that, but that explains, I think, why there is that difference of perception on the part of a lot of people in this country and why the level of kind of disgust about the activities would be different.
Yes, that is true, because the fact of it is that, like I say, I like women myself, but the fellows, I don't know. You know, this is just a situation. And by no means am I supporting the Republicans. It's just the fact of it is that, it's the fact how you're portraying this as a double standard between two different acts.
All right, you disagree that that this is a double standard, but I'm saying some are charging that it is. In any case, there was a caller who couldn't wait through the news, and I'm not sure you have the answer to this, Professor Wilson.
Okay.
Was wondering about this whole voicemail and how in the world this was released to the media and who released this and wondering who's behind this. Do you have any more information on that? I just heard it was a wrong number.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well. So, I mean, I would just be purely speculative on my part. My guess is that someone who may very well be someone who doesn't know Larry Craig at all, who got this voicemail and said, oh my gosh, this is from the guy who's been in the news, and went to a news organization with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's my best guess as to what happened. But I have no idea.
Yeah. Ken in Eau Claire. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, good morning. Good topic. Appreciate your guest's comments. We've been talking about double standards this morning, and I find it interesting that every time there's an election, we do hear from members of the gay community or the gay rights community talking about tolerance and understanding. as well as a lot of prominent politicians on the far left of the Democratic Party talking about tolerance and understanding. Yet through all this, I may have missed something, but I haven't heard from them. And to me, if they're not coming out to defend this, granted this was in a restroom, and my personal feeling is yes, he should resign. But we're missing something from the far left and from the gay rights community, and I'm wondering why they haven't stepped up to defend this individual. Thank you.
Professor Wilson?
Yeah, well, I would say a couple of things. I mean, first of all, because Larry Craig has not been a defender of gay rights in his political career, the gay community feels no desire or impetus to defend him. I mean, they are perfectly willing to let him twist in the wind because their view is he has not been an ally of theirs. Secondly, the gay community does not want to associate themselves with this particular type of sex act. I mean, in many people's minds, it plays to the worst stereotypes about homosexual behavior, that is, this attempt to have a random anonymous coupling in the bathroom. That's not something I think that the gay community wants to come out and say, oh, sure, this is perfectly acceptable behavior, we're going to defend Larry Craig. I mean, so for those two reasons, I don't think they want anything to do with this story or his defense.
Thanks, Ken, for the call. Philip in Green Bay, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joey. Good morning to your guest. I'm calling about one of the issues that I haven't heard any mention of is, and it's just a quick question for your guest, and he can answer this if he wants to. But what is the the nexus of this voicemail message? Where did this come from, and why is nobody looking into that? The other thing is that it's interesting that this story is basically the nexus of this story was Senator Patrick Leahy who brought this up, and this story was actually headlines in the newspaper about Monday of this week in the Post Crescent, but it was an Associated Press story. But the fact is Senator Leahy was very quietly kicked off of the Senate Intelligence Committee a number of years ago for leaking classified information, but he was never asked to step down by the Democrats, although and more recently a chairperson of the Senate Ethics Committee was found channeling contracts to her husband's companies for the Senate Military Construction Committee.
Instead of changing the subject to some other scandal with Democrats.
We're talking about double standards here, are we not? And I believe that your guest has actually written books on this topic, and I think that... If there's no double standard for looking into Republicans versus Democrats, when will this ever end?
Well, I would say I think it's an important point that you make with regard to the larger issue of corruption and scandal in Congress, because it's certainly true that the Larry Craig scandal particularly is a Republican problem. But there's a bigger institutional problem for Congress and for Americans' confidence in our political institutions, and that is that there's been a steady drumbeat of scandals and misconduct by members of Congress of both parties. I mean, we think back to Mark Foley, we think about Congressman William Jefferson from Louisiana under FBI investigation. Those are just a couple. We could name several others that have been in the news, Randy Duke Cunningham. What this has done is to erode Americans' confidence in their elected officials and to erode Americans' sense of respect that they accord to the institution of Congress. And that's a larger enduring problem that transcends political party. If we look right now, the only major political institution that has less approval than President Bush is the Congress. I mean, only 18% of Americans approve of the job that Congress is doing right now. And these scandals, regardless of what party is implicated, merely serve to further erode Americans' sense of contentedness and confidence in this major democratic institution. And that's something that's troubling as we think about our politics going forward.
Yeah. And again, we touched on the voicemail question, Philip. Maybe you were talking to our producer when we did that. But the email again was, or the email, the voicemail was released by Roll Call in Washington after receiving it from whoever had it on, the wrong number that received this voicemail, shared it with the media. We don't know specifically who that wrong number was. right, Professor?
That's right. Yeah. As far as I know, there's been no information released about who was mistakenly called in this case.
Yeah. Matthew Wilson, our guest, Associate Professor of Political Science at Southern Methodist University, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, talking about the Larry Craig scandal and the Republican Party. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. 12 minutes before 8 o'clock. Coming up after 8, it's Friday, so that means it's our Friday Week in Review. Still no budget for Wisconsin. We have another candidate for president. Fred Thompson made it official this week. And Senator Larry Craig confuses the waters. We'll talk more about that in our Week in Review coming up after 8 o'clock. Our guest this hour, Matthew Wilson, Associate Professor of Political Science at Southern Methodist University, editor of the forthcoming From Pews to Polling Places, Faith and Politics in the American Religious Mosaic, talking about Senator Larry Craig still making the news, much to the dismay of his Republican colleagues. Senator Larry Craig says it's likely Idaho will have a new senator in October. And Republican senators are voicing relief after announcing over the weekend that he plans to step down at the end of this month. Craig hinted that he might instead try to complete his term, which ends in early 2009, and fight the charges against him or try to overturn the guilty plea that he entered to a disorderly conduct charge related to a sex sting in a Minneapolis airport bathroom. A spokesperson yesterday for Larry Craig says the most likely scenario is that there will be a new senator this month. Senate Republican leaders had been alarmed by the possibility that Craig might try to stay. They had already stripped him of his committee leadership posts, and yesterday they pushed harder to persuade him to step aside. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell said he thought Craig made the correct decision when he announced that he would be resigning. Our guest believes that he will indeed resign at the end of the month, even though he seems to be making some noises to the contrary. Jim in River Falls is our next caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I'd kind of like to leave out the financial scandals of, like, Duke Cunningham and Jefferson, because I think the sex angle is, you know, a whole different animal, especially when it comes to the media. But I'm looking, you know, the Idahoan did quite a piece on Mr. Craig, and we only seem to hear about the Minneapolis bathroom and not, you know, some of the investigative work they've done about his history. And I'd follow up the same with Mr. Foley. You know, a lot of things were talked about, but not a real serious investigation was done. And then we've got President Clinton with the Jennifer Flowers and Paula Jones stuff that was out there. But my question is, you know, the Republicans have said, well, when we have one of these guys, we get rid of them. The Democrats reelect them. And my take on it is the Republicans cover it up as long as they can, and then when there's no place to hide, then they all get their righteous indignation and send them on the road. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think it's true that there have been rumors swirling around Larry Craig for some time, and you're right that the newspaper in Idaho has been investigating Larry Craig's private life and personal conduct for a while, and this is why, as I said earlier, essentially, no one is believing his defense that this is all a big misunderstanding because of this background and these other incidents and these other rumors that have been swirling for some time. And look, I think it's definitely the case that political parties, in this case the Republican Party, are not going to come forward before they're forced to and say, hey, we think somebody in our midst, one of our colleagues, is engaged in questionable sexual behavior, because for one thing, you don't want to go out on a limb and say that unless you know, because you ruin somebody's career. So in a sense, yes, their hand is forced by the criminal conviction in this case, but it's kind of hard to imagine what they would have done otherwise. I mean, would Republican senators have had a press conference last year saying, we think Larry Craig might be gay? It's hard to imagine a political party doing that to one of their own in the absence of a specific precipitating incident.
Thanks, Jim, for the call. David in Viroqua. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. This is in response to an earlier caller who wondered why the gay community wasn't, you know, helping to defend Larry Craig. I mean, this isn't about being gay or anything else. This is about a guy who's been actively fighting against gay rights. I mean, if there had ever been a law to make this kind of an activity have an even stiffer penalty. He'd been right out there screaming for it. This is about a senator being a huge hypocrite and getting caught.
Yeah, and you think he should resign, David?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's the least he can do. You know, I mean, this, how many times do we have to go through what seems to be an ongoing case of, if you're really out there fighting against gay rights and you hate the gays, you're probably gay.
Yeah, and what about David Vitter? Should he resign? He's the one who was involved with allegedly soliciting a prostitute.
I'm way more bothered by the hypocrite part of it all. If, you know, if Larry Craig had been out there,
well, this David Vitter is a family values guy and a conservative. Yet he, you know, was cheating on his wife with a prostitute.
Yeah, he can go ahead and resign. I mean, I'm finding this so typical of, you know, this, you know, self-righteous right side of the Republican Party who are running around doing all of the things that they object to.
Yeah, Professor Wilson.
Well, I certainly I understand some of the indignation in this case, and this is what I said before, mm-hmm. that part of the reason that there's been no gay community rallying to Larry Craig's defense is, for one thing, he still insists adamantly that he's not gay, and secondly, he has been an opponent of various gay rights measures, and so, I mean, there's no desire on their part, I think, to defend him. But the other issue is, I mean, I think we have to be careful here about painting with too broad a brush. I mean, certainly David Vitter, Larry Craig, committed personal indiscretions, and we could debate about how serious each one was, their relative magnitude, things like that. But to jump from that to say that all of the Republican Party or all conservatives or all opponents of gay rights are just hypocrites who are engaged in, you know, dubious sexual behaviors is a bit of a leap. But I certainly understand, I mean, when a prominent person who has been opposed to that sort of conduct is caught engaged in it himself, that certainly is going to anger those people who would have opposed his political stances in the first place.
Susan, and is it Pensulky?
Pensulky, yes.
Okay.
I'll make it brief. Actually, two callers have called in on a similar point. There was a question earlier. I thought it was kind of baiting about why doesn't the gay community support this senator. First, he doesn't identify as gay. And for most run-of-the-mill people that are just living a basic life, it's extremely offensive to us as gay people what he was doing in that bathroom. Why would we support someone engaging in that kind of behavior anyways? And the last two quick thoughts, just as in the black community, not all gay people are of one mind. We all have divergent opinions. And the last point being, time and again, when people are not allowed to be themselves in this culture and are in hiding, this is the kind of underground behavior that results.
Mm-hmm. Comments, Professor Wilson?
Well, I think she makes several important points, some of which we've touched on before. But, yeah, I mean, imagine, if we think about it this way. What if this had been Congressman Barney Frank who were caught in this behavior? Barney Frank is an openly gay congressman, Democratic congressman from Massachusetts. Would gay people necessarily have rallied to his defense to say, hey, you know, trolling for anonymous bathroom sex is no big deal? No, I don't think necessarily so. I mean, I think that it's, we've got to remember here that this is not simply a question of homosexuality, alleged homosexuality. It's a question of the manner and forum in which this sexual behavior took place. And so, I mean, I think that that is a complicating factor that we have to remember here as well. And I think the caller alluded to that.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Susan, for the call. Colin in Sturgeon Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm calling just to kind of throw this idea out there. The Senator Craig, when he called the wrong number, it might have been on purpose to kind of test out, like, what people might think about this whole kind of scandal, and it might have been like a political claim.
Well, Do you think that's possible, Professor Wilson?
It's possible, although, you know, you would think that there would be better ways that he could float a trial balloon about the idea of remaining in office. But it is odd that he would make this mistake. So, I mean, I think we have really no idea what was going on with that, and it's hard really to speculate at this point.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, though, you expect he's going to step down by September 30th, and,
yes.
And all will be well with the Republican Party?
Well, not necessarily. I suspect he will step down by September 30th. I think the biggest problem this creates for the Republican Party is that it alienates them from a segment of their base, from a big segment of their base. That is, for Republicans to do well in elections, they need an energized, active Christian conservative base, because those are the foot soldiers of the party. And they are, even more than most Americans, really put off by this. And if the perception exists that Republicans are not genuinely committed to the kind of family values issues that Christian conservatives care about, and that's a perception that can be reinforced by David Vitter, Larry Craig, Mark Foley, etc., if that Christian conservative base is not energized in the 2008 elections, Republicans will have a very difficult time winning the presidency or holding even the seats that they have in Congress. So there will need to be some real fence mending with the evangelical Christian constituency, because if they jump ship or if they are not enthused for the Republican Party, then it's going to be a very tough uphill climb.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Matthew Wilson, Associate Professor of Political Science at Southern Methodist University. Thanks to Leo Duran and Kieran Prager for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.